Super glad we have Andrew with us. He's a really gifted young man. As our leadership team has been able to just bond with him a little bit more, we're very shocked by the caliber of a worship leader that the Lord has sent to us. And I was having breakfast with Andrew, kind of as a little interview, and he's telling me just a little bit about some of the things that the Lord has done in his life. And I stopped him in the middle and I said, "I am offended at how humble you are." Just so amazed at just the ways that the Lord has just used Andrew, and he's just a great just addition to our leadership team. So we love having you around, bro. Thank you. Well, tonight we are in our fifth session on this series on evangelism and discipleship. And as I just started to look at the different pieces that I wanted to make sure we covered in this series that we're doing, one of the things that I thought was really important that we touch on was making disciples that actually follow Jesus. That's a key point of discipleship. In fact, it's probably the keynote in discipleship. You know, I was thinking this week about how awesome it is, this sweet thing that we have, this community, this family here, and how great it is that I get to see, you know, all of you guys throughout the week over at the prayer room. It's just so much fun. It's awesome. I get to see, you know, Becky on Tuesday nights and Brent on Saturday mornings. And there's just so many of you guys that I get to, you know, just see throughout the week. Micah comes in Tuesday evenings. And I think I've seen Luke up there once or twice before. And then Amy comes in on Wednesday nights. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, we're married. So, But it's so great to just be able to see you guys throughout the week. And just to be able to continue those relationships and those friendships, it's just so sweet to have good community. I have been a part of fellowship for a lot of years, and I've had some really good experiences. I really haven't had any negative ones, but I've had some really good experiences. But man, there is just, I can't compare what we have here is just the community factor to anything else I've experienced. It's just so sweet. And part of the reason for that is because we're friends. It's such a great thing to be able to run together after Jesus with friends. And I just love that. So I love seeing you guys up at the prayer room, being able to give you hugs, and love seeing you guys here and hearing about what's going on through your lives, because we're talking to, you know, maybe one of your small group leaders, somebody else is in your small group, hearing about what all's going on. I just so love that. So loving being in friend relationship with you. But what's actually more than that is not just that we're friends, because that really can only go so deep, but that you're disciples of Christ, that you are followers of Jesus. You see, I've been in friendships before where we were kind of running together, you know, friend-wise, but when it came down to being disciples of Christ together, they didn't want anything to do with it. And I can even remember some experiences just even in the past, 10 years of trying to make disciples and discipleship relationships, and how people wanted to be my friend. They loved that. We were good buddies. But when it came time to being a disciple of Christ, that's where they drew the line. And they didn't draw the line in title. They wanted to call themselves a disciple of Christ. They wanted to call themselves a follower. But when it came down to what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, that's where the rubber met the road, and they didn't want anything to do with it. And so as I'm celebrating this community that we have, it's way deeper than the friendships. I am so appreciative for the friendships. It's the genuine fellowship that you guys love Jesus, you're pursuing Him, and we're friends. And in the midst of all that, it creates this beautiful community that that we're all getting to eat the fruit of. Well, tonight I want to talk about this concept of disciples that actually follow Jesus. And you know, one of the things that we'll look at here in a little bit as we jump into the Word is Jesus' call to follow Him. And what that means. He was unapologetic in it. I mean, Jesus, He called people to lay down their lives. He called people to leave it all behind. Jesus was probably the most unapologetic preacher of Jesus that there's ever been. I mean, when He was talking about coming and follow, or you know, being a disciple of His, He seriously would say, "Leave it all behind, come and follow Me right now." "Well, you know, I got some stuff to take care of." "No, you don't. Follow Me right now." "Well, shouldn't I tell my dad that I'm leaving?" "Leave right now." I mean, it's just unapologetic. I mean, He was just He was radical in his call to follow him. And it was because he was trying to really make a point about the life that we're signing up for when we call ourselves a believer, when we give ourselves to Christ, when we become one of his followers. He actually calls us to follow him. Well, that's actually the main objective in discipleship. And that's not just the main objective in discipleship. It's the main objective for why humans were born. People on the planet were born primarily that they might become a disciple that follows Jesus. And I want to say this, as we're trying to seek to be a church that is that are disciples and that are raising up disciples, I want to say this, actually the individual has completely missed the point of their existence until they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Not a churchgoer, not a I'm a Christian caller of themselves, but that they're actually a follower of Jesus. They've completely missed the whole purpose for life and everything. That we would be those and that we would call those around us into actually following Jesus. So let me give you a couple of takeaways what we're trying to go for tonight. One, what does it mean to follow Jesus? That's a pretty simple lesson, but my hope tonight isn't to talk to a room of people that know how to follow Jesus about how to follow Jesus. My hope is to talk to a room tonight that are going to be discipling this next group of people that are going to come into the kingdom and that we're going to be able to minister to. My hope is to be able to talk to you to help cast some vision for a bunch of leaders in a room that are going to be having influence in the lives of tens, hundreds, and then who knows what else the Lord might give to us. But to speak to people in a room tonight about, one, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And two, and this one gets some a little bit of trick on it, a little tricky, is what we should be expecting from those that call themselves a disciple. Because if we're going to be leading others in this whole thing, making disciples, we want to actually know what is a disciple and what should we be expecting. So there's kind of a little starter for you tonight. Well, let's jump in. I'm going to be in Matthew 4, for those of you guys who want to turn there to start with. We're going to skip around in Matthew a little bit. Matthew 4, and what I've got here is just this simple phrase that Jesus used. Come follow me. Follow me, Jesus said. And so Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 20, if we can get that up on the screen. Matthew 4, 18 through 20, Jesus, he gave really several statements, but I'm just going to kind of highlight a couple of them, one from each one of these passages. This first one, Jesus says, leave your old life and follow me. So his call to be a disciple of his was to leave the old life and to follow him. Matthew 4, 18 through 20. This is right before the Sermon on the Mount, and it's great that the Sermon on the Mount follows this, because we all know Sermon on the Mount is Christianity 101. It's the how to live as a believer. It's pray, fast, give, forgive, love people, love Jesus, you know, follow the commandments. It is Christianity 101, and it's right after he calls some of these guys to come and follow him. He starts giving them Christianity 101. In fact, if you want a good discipleship training course for those that are coming into the kingdom, those that are just getting saved, those that are giving their lives to the Lord, man, give them Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and when you're done, start over and give them Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount is a great foundational starting point for how to follow Jesus in the daily routine. So Jesus says, come and follow me. He says here in Matthew 4, 18, I'm going to read it. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. You guys have probably been told before, but it's helpful to kind of jog our emotional memory here of the storyline here of what's happening. So Jesus sees these two guys. He doesn't know them. They don't know him. Now, he knows a little bit. You know, he's God. So he's probably got a heads up on what their story is. But my point is that there's no established relationship here. And he walks by, and they can tell that he's a rabbi. They get that. And there are these two just fishermen guys. I mean, they're not the cream of the crop. They're just two guys. And he says to them, in essence, stop. Leave your entire life behind. Leave everything you know. Leave everything about the way that you've been living. Stop right now, this very second, and instantly transform into something different. And I'm going to show you what you'll be fishing for in the future. Come and follow me. And it says at once they left their nets. This is a radical call to discipleship. I love it. Jesus was unashamed to say, you know what? If you want to follow me, your old life has got to go. Unashamedly, unapologetically, he says, you've got to leave the way, you've got to leave your old activities. You've got to leave the old ways that you used to spend your time and your money. You've got to leave your old way of life and now come follow me. And you know what? In boldness, these guys, they're so bored with life. And I just feel like the generation around us fits this picture so clearly. They're so bored with life. They're actually looking for somebody to just give them a radical call. They're actually looking for somebody to call them into something where they can throw their heart into it. You know, we were created with something in us that calls us to give ourselves fully to something. In fact, we really feel out of place and awkward when we're cut thin. When we're spread ourselves thin over 10 things, 15 things, oh my gosh, our heart's just so divided. What we love is the concept of being able to throw ourselves in and be wholehearted about something. There's a generation that's out there right now that I believe is just like these two guys. They're just bored and they're looking for something wholehearted, all in, leave your old life and come and follow me. And as Paul said it, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we can actually give the same call. Come and follow me. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm doing the best that I can to seek Him, to do His will. Come and follow me. Throw your life in with me. Throw your lot in with me in the way that I'm doing things. We do this thing called the prayer room. We do prayer meetings. We go to this church on Sunday nights. I know you're used to Sunday mornings. We're actually involved in each other's lives throughout the week. We do these things called small groups. This concept of convert your life. You're living this way. I know you've got these activities, these things, these hangouts, these friends. Convert. Come and follow me as I follow Christ. I just see that. And these guys were so looking for something new, and they saw their opportunity in Christ. And Jesus says to them, come follow me. It says they left their nets there and followed him. The nets were the way they made their living. They left their occupation. They left their geography. They left everything, and they came and followed him. And I think part of that is just the boldness of this wild man, Jesus, who looks at two guys he doesn't know and says, hey, you two, come follow me. And they jumped on it. I think part of it is just his boldness. Next, deny yourselves and follow me. Now this one gets even more specific because it starts talking about not just our natural stuff, but starts talking about our heart and, you know, where we go with that. So now Matthew 16, 24 through 26. So this is Jesus saying, now deny yourselves and follow me. He says it again. This whole follow me thing. Jesus is into this. Here he says, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone. So he's talking about anybody. In fact, we probably, for our purposes, because I think our hearts are kind of dull to the terminology here, I'm going to say, if anyone, let's change it and say, everyone who wants to. Everyone who wants to come after me. Anyone who wants to. Everyone who wants to. Follow me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, there's a generation that's being taught that they can be followers of Jesus and they don't have to deny themselves. There's a generation that is being instructed that they can have their cake and eat it too. What in the world does that term even mean? Like, I have wondered forever. If you have your cake, what in the world are you going to do with it except eat it? Like, what would you do with cake? I never understood that, but anyway, so... Yeah, so there. So anyway, so you can have your cake and you can eat it too. That's what's being propagated in wide. I mean, it's loud over the loudspeaker in our generation that you can call yourself a Christian. You can have all the perks of, you know, knowing Jesus and salvation, and you don't have to deny yourself. That's a lie. The Bible says if you want to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to follow Christ, you have to deny yourself and you have to follow Him. It means it goes back to pieces of the passage we read a minute ago about leaving the old way of life. Well, but I like this. I like keeping these things. I like having this peace be my identity. You've got to deny yourself or you're not a believer. You've got to deny yourself and come follow Him. Man, I just love this. He says, come and follow me. But now the follow me isn't just leave the nets. Now the follow me is deny yourself. It means it's not about you anymore. It means that now you're actually, your life is now hidden in this man that you're following. Your life is hidden in Christ. And so your life, what you were about, what you thought, and again, I'm speaking to a room here that I know is doing this. I'm trying to give you guys some language, give you guys some passages to root yourselves in to how you're going to call the next generation into being genuine disciples. So that Jesus says, He says, you've got to deny yourself and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Man, I know that's so true. You know, it's one of those hindsight things. When I was in the balance, you know, and I'm trying to decide, you know, what is my life going to look like now that I'm in Christ? And I'm trying to make those decisions. And I can just remember being shocked beyond belief how many activities in my weekly routine God called sin. And I just remember going, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. This stuff's so fun. How can this be bad? I just remember being so shocked, and I had to just look at that and really make some decisions, you know, about, well, I said I'm in, I said I'm His, I said I'm a disciple of His, how can I be a disciple of His and not follow Him? And having to make those decisions to turn away from those things, and I felt like I was losing my life. I felt like Jesus is a killjoy here. Like, He's God, so I guess He knows better, but man, it seems like He's robbing my life here. All these activities, these things, these pleasures, He's taking these things from me. These ways of thinking and these ways that I spoke and handled myself. Seems like He's a killjoy. Oh, I was so wrong. Oh man, by giving up my life, how I have found true life. And the pleasures I knew before, they're not even worth mentioning. Oh my gosh, the way I used to live and called it fun, my life is so alive in Christ. And that's what He promised us. If we'll lose our life for His sake, we'll find true life. You know, you're doing somebody a favor to tell them to just go ahead and lose their life and find it in Christ. You're doing them a great favor. And while they may grimace at you and call you, you know, a conservative, whatever. I mean, they might give you all this hard time. You are doing them a favor. And they will thank you for it later. Oh my gosh. If I'd have known then what I know now about what life in Christ was going to be, I wouldn't have even batted an eye at turning those things away and turning those things down. Jesus says, it's really good for you. I promise I'm the Son of God. I really got clarity on this stuff. Lose your life for my sake. You'll be better off. You'll thank me. And thank me and thank me. And then you'll become like my spokesperson on trying to get everybody else who thinks they've got a good life to just go ahead and leave that thing behind and come and follow me. Oh my gosh, I just love it. He says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the world yet forfeits his soul? Or how can a man exchange... fuzzy thinking tonight. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, one of the points that I've continually been in awe by, I don't know, it's like a fascination, because I find it over and over in the Word, is this simple little point. Jesus promises to reward us with a reward we couldn't possibly get by any other means except free gift. He promises to give us the most incredible rewards if we obey Him. And it's also, this is the part that's so interesting to me, He also promises that if we don't obey Him, He's going to beat the snot out of us. I mean, it's crazy to me. It's like, well, You made that really, really easy to say yes. Because not only are You giving me all the goodies, You promise to judge me if I don't. If I don't walk with You, if I don't say yes to You. I mean, look at this passage. It says, what good will it be if a man gains the whole world but he's going to forfeit his soul if he doesn't lose his life for Christ. It's like, what good is that? Well, yeah, Jesus, you got a good point. Well, I don't really want to miss out on all the goods plus go to hell. That's just a bad deal. I just find that over and over in the Word where the Lord says, oh, I'll give you so much stuff. I can't wait to bless you in all these ways if you do this. Like, oh, well, that's awesome. You find another passage where he says, if you don't do that thing I told you I'd bless you if you did, I'm going to be so hard against you. I'm going to come against you with all of my fury. Like, it's just crazy to me that it's the same point. Just obey. Just walk with him, you know? And yet he promises rewards and curses if we don't do it. I promise you, we're doing our friends, our family members, those that we encounter, those coworkers, we're doing them a favor if we call them into this thing called following Jesus. All right? Now, leave everything and follow me. Let's get up this next verse, if we can. It's out of Matthew 19, 23 through 30. It's a good long passage. I'm going to read it, though. It's got a lot of meat in it. So this is Jesus again. He said, leave your old life. Then he said, deny yourself. Now he says, leave everything, if you will. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't say impossible, but real hard. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I tell you again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. Oh my gosh, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible. You're right, you got it. You're astonished because it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Peter answered him, well, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. We left everything, not just the net. We left everything. And you can just see Jesus' grin just coming across his face as Peter's saying this. Because Peter's saying it like, well, what do we do? I mean, we left everything. Like, we want to know, are we in? Are we going to get in on the sweet stuff? And Jesus says, Peter says, what then will there be for us? And Jesus said to him, I just imagine this big smile. I just can't see him saying this stone-faced. I tell you the truth at the renewal of all things. He says, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things. When the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne. I always imagine Jesus being like an Italian, using his hands, talking with his hands. His glorious throne. You who have followed me. You who have followed me. Will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone. So it's not just you guys. It's not just you 12. Everyone. Who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Oh, I love that passage. This promise that it's for anyone who would follow him, but it's about following him. It's not about church attendance. It's not about checking, you know, baptized on a certificate. It is about following him, and the following, as best as I know, every time it's written in the New Testament, it's in the infinitive in the Greek, which just means it means follow and keep following. Those who follow him, who keep following him, oh, you will receive so much. You'll receive life, true life on earth, but you'll receive an inheritance in heaven. I mean, we're talking about trying to talk people out of their poverty. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about making disciples. We're talking about trying to talk somebody out of being dirt poor, sick, and last. Like, come on, man. You know, give it up. No, I love being dirt poor. It's awesome. No, this sickness is sweet. Man, I just love being impoverished and broken. I mean, it's like, you're the last. You're the last, and you'll spend eternity in hell on the back end of this. We're trying to talk people out of their broken poverty into eternal kingdom glory. We're talking about eternity, joy in the heart, inheritance beyond what they can believe, both now and in the age to come. We actually have a pretty easy sell. I mean, really, I'm talking about whatever. I mean, we're talking about 70 years here, 80, 90, 100, 110. I mean, how old is the oldest person? 115 years? Like, you're talking about a really minimal trade-off here called following Jesus for 110 years or however many you get. A really minimal trade-off. Just be a follower of Jesus. Well, what do I get out of it? What don't you get out of it? You get out of this broken deal you call life right now. This poverty, this total poverty of humanity, of who you are, of your spirit, of you're just defiled, and I mean, it's just a mess down here. We're trying to talk people out of that and give them the most incredible inheritance. So what does it cost? It does cost obedience. It does cost following Jesus. It is a high cost, but it's something we can give up. And it's when you look at the trade-off, it still shouldn't even show up on, you know, on the scale of how much you're getting and how much you're paying for the thing. I mean, you show up with some of your old burnt hair and stick it in the scale. I mean, it's just totally nasty. You got nothing. That's what you show up with. And you walk out of there with Scrooge McDuck's money bin. I'm telling you. This thing is really, really good deal here. Well, man, I just had some burnt hair. Yeah, I know. Trade your ashes in for beauty, my friend. This is a really, really sweet deal. We've got to start thinking about the invitation that we're giving these people. We're not giving these people, it'd be nice if you changed religions, you know, because your religion's wrong. Who even cares what their religion is? They don't have Jesus. We're talking about that sort of a trade-off here. We're talking about the total bankrupt system they call their Monday through Sunday for the kingdom, for true life, for transformation, for true fellowship, for joy, for the reason they were made. Oh, how many people? I mean, I know this isn't going to be the worst piece of the dun-dun-dun when they show up in Satan's house, but I mean, I just feel like it's going to be one of the stingers for those that show up in hell and go, have to realize, oh, you mean I missed the entire point of life? You mean I chased after all this stuff that didn't mean anything? You mean I'm so dumb I passed up the very purpose I was created for? And I bought some trinkets and stuff and sin? I just imagine that being like a painful stinger, like kind of the have to wear the dunce hat forever, you know? Like you completely miss the purpose of why you were even born. I just feel like that's one of those extra little stings, certainly not the only, of having to process hell forever. Man, I miss the purpose of life. We're calling people into the reality for which they were created. We're calling them to follow Jesus. Okay, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? You know, that could probably be, why don't we call that the next 10 years of Foreigner Fellowship? Okay, I mean, so I'm not going to give you how do we follow Jesus in you know, 10 minutes or whatever. But I give you three starters that I think, if we've got these three starting points, I think we can really, as ourselves, continue to develop. And I think we can really call people into following Jesus. If we get these three pieces, I feel like these things are foundational for what it means. There is only one kind of disciple of Christ. Let's make that clear. And I think it's okay for us to be kind. You don't have to be horsey, but to be kind about it, to tell people that. Yeah, you're not a disciple of Christ. I sure am. I go to church. Yeah, there's only one kind of disciple of Christ, and that's one that follows Jesus. And as a church, as individuals that are trying to make disciples, I think we ought to get a little bit of the foundational points and identify discipleship 101 here, and get a couple of these things under our feet. So one, teach them to believe the Bible. Man, if we can just teach people to believe the Bible, you know, When I came to Christ, and I was trying to process, you know, I was a philosophy major in college, and I was really kind of thinking my way through philosophy and stuff even before I went to college. I was, you know, really trying to, you know, have one of those intellectual minds. That's really not my bag. It's really not. Maybe you know, stand-up comedy, but man, this philosophy just wasn't my bag. But I thought I was a smart guy when I was lost in high school, and I was very philosophical, and I loved to get in debates with Christians and tell them how dumb they were, and I can remember as I came to Christ and I realized, man, it's over. I'm a new creation. And I started to just deal with this one point, and that is, where am I now going to get the rest of my information for how to live? And I thought, well, one choice is the church. I'm like, okay, the church that I started going to, you know, I was like, well, that could be, I mean, again, I'm 5 days old in Christ, okay, or 10 days old in Christ. And you're trying to, like, okay, what do I do now with my life? Like, what in the world does this thing called being a disciple of Christ mean? And I'm trying to figure that out. I'm trying to figure out, where am I going to get for my information? Well, I could get the plan for my life from the church that I'm attending. Okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a good idea. I can get the plan for my life from some of the friends that I've made that are Christians, and they kind of helped me along in the way. I was like, I can see some validity there. And I was like, or I can get the plan for my life from the same source that the message came from that saved my life, the Bible. Let's put it up on the screen. 1 Timothy 3:16. You guys know it, but feel it. Feel it tonight. 1 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed. It's the breath of God. It came out of his breath. It's God-breathed. It's wisdom. It's good. It's right. It is the path for our lives. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, because we need it sometimes, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, that makes sense. If the source, the message, because even if a friend told you about Jesus, even if you didn't find yourself reading the Bible one day and read, oh, God's the love of the world, he gave his one and only son, if you came to Christ because you're reading the Bible, most likely you probably got it from somebody else. You heard the message from a friend, from a pastor, from a whoever, from a teacher somewhere along the line, and it made sense to you, and your heart came alive, and you gave your life to Jesus. Well, let's just remember where they got that message. They weren't so smart that they made it up. They weren't so smart that they came up with it. They got that message from the Bible, because this thing has got the breath of God in it. This word is the instruction about how to live, about who we are, about our purpose on the earth. So when we tell a new disciple in Christ, or somebody who's on the fence and making a decision about whether they want to or not, when we tell them that the Bible's where the cookies are, we are giving them the greatest blessing in the world, because now we've given them the source that they can read, and they can glean, and they can grow, and they can mature, and they can begin to transform their life as the Word is washing over them, transform their life into Christ. I want to say it's one of the most foundational pieces, and I think we need to tell the believer that gets saved that very moment, get them a Bible somehow, and say, this is the Word of God. And the message that brought you to salvation is in this Word. And there's 10,000 other pieces of this message that will lead you, instruct you, help you, and train you. This is God's Word, and you need it. You need to devour this thing. I love walking into the prayer room and seeing those sickies that have been there for 6 hours reading the Bible. It's just washing over them, transforming them, because they're fellowshipping with the Logos. They're fellowshipping with the Word, with Jesus, the God-man, became flesh in the Scriptures, reading about Him, reading His purposes, His plans, His desires. And they're fellowshipping with God, and they're becoming more like Him. I just love it. So what I think we need to do with new disciples, or those that are even on the fence, we need to tell them, this is the Word of God. You need to believe this. You need to believe the Bible. You need it. It's so good for you, it'll transform you. So that's foundational principle number one. Second piece, teach them to adopt His standards. Man, as I was saying earlier, when I was wicked, I had a set of standards. Oh, I can remember how twisted my standards were. How I would twist things, twist facts, and twist things that I knew were principles that were real, and twist them a little bit to get them to work for me. I had a set of standards. There were certain things I'd never do, certain things I'd always do, certain things I didn't care if somebody else did. I had a set of standards. And when I came to Christ, I had to throw that whole thing out and rewrite the entire list. I had to totally erase my standard list and embrace Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:2 says this. Says, I beg you that when I come to you. Now this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and he's really talking about the standards issue. And he's really talking to a carnal church that's decided to keep some of their standards. They're going to have some of Jesus' standards and a bunch of their own. And Paul's like, oh, I beg you. Oh, don't make me get tough guy when I get there. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. You know, anybody that you're talking to about giving their life to Christ, about becoming a disciple, about following Jesus, they have no choice. They are living under the standards of this world. It's the only standard system they know until they come into the light and until they can recognize Christ's standards. But Paul says there's no place for those old standards once we're inside the kingdom. And so as we're, you know, talking with people, it's important that we say, listen, this thing is expensive. I mean, it is an expensive ride. Because you got to give up all your broken hay, stubble, and sticks. You got to give up all that. I know. Big deal. Give up all those standards and embrace Christ's standards. The newness of life. Colossians 3 says it this way. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the old way. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways. I know. That was your standard system. You used to walk in that standard system. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And don't lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and you put on the new self. What I want to say is, as a second point of just a pillar of inviting people into following Jesus, is to adopt His standards, which really requires that we know the Word. It requires that we believe the Bible, because the Bible's the prescription manual that gives us all the standards that Jesus has and that He holds to. And so as we're calling people into it, it's essential, though, that we tell them, listen, it's not enough to have a Bible. You actually have to begin to adopt His standards. Don't live according to the standards of the world. That's how you used to live. That's old. Now it's the whole follow me thing. Follow me. Leave the old ways behind, the old standards behind. You've now taken off your old self and taken off your old practices, and you've put on the new. One of the things that is a missing element in the discipleship process, and you can see it because you've got lots of people that you know that call themselves believers that haven't adopted God's standards. They're still operating according to the old standards. And one of the reasons that's so rampant is because no one told them it was totally unacceptable to do it any other way. Listen, put a big smile on your face. Some of you are going to have to force it. Some of you guys might need surgery. Put a big smile, I guess, and tell them, you got to live according to Christ's standards. You can't live according to your own standards anymore. You cannot live according to the standards of the world. You can't do that anymore. Well, yeah, I've got liberty in Christ. You're an idiot. You can't live according to the standards of this world. The scripture says so clearly that you not only are a hypocrite, you don't know God. Because anyone who wants to follow Jesus must deny themselves and follow Him. Anyone. Listen, there are so many people that call themselves a Christian, and they're not. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. I could call myself an MMA fighter. It doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't matter what you call yourself. It matters who you're following. And if you're not following Him, if you're not adopting His standard system, then it's not just that you're a liar. You're totally deceived. You don't know God. Yes, I do. I was baptized. I don't care what you... Are you following Him? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Because if you're a follower of Him, He demands that you lay down your life and follow Him and adopt His standards. And again, the Word of God is where we get those standards. So one, you need the Word. You got to believe it's God's Word. Two, you got to actually adopt the standards of the Word. And three, and this one, man, you can't tell I like three. Three is teach them to obey His teachings. not just adopt his standards, but obey his teachings. As disciples, we don't get to reinvent or redefine his teachings. We have to do things his way. You know, I've done this discipleship thing a little bit. I've seen it go really good. I've seen it go really bad. My heart still hurts over some of the bad. And over the years, see people's hearts come alive, follow Christ. And those who are kind of on the fence, and most who are on the fence, it's just been my experience, most who are on the fence wind up falling off the wrong way. I was a young lady. You guys maybe heard me say this before, but it just so marked me. It so marked me. The young lady, and she was one of my disciples. I'd poured a lot of energy trying to help this young lady grow. And she'd overcome a number of things in her life. And eventually, she said this. She said, "I can't imagine marrying anybody that I haven't slept with first. I haven't been in a sexual relationship with first. Because how would I know if I'm compatible?" Now, in that process, I told that young lady along her journey how she came to that enlightenment moment. That wasn't the beginning. That was the end. But along that journey, I told her, I say, sexual morality is not okay. The word says that immorality, it actually will throw you into hell. Sexual morality is not okay. You can't do it. You don't get to reinvent the Christ's teachings. As a disciple, you don't get to just bend it. You don't get to omit teachings of the Scripture. And her wisdom led her to total insanity. Her wisdom led her to say that it's very justifiable. How would you marry someone that you don't know that you're compatible with sexually? She actually said that. And she was living that lifestyle. Totally outside of God's will. Totally outside of relationship with God. I mean, in total deception. Not a follower of Jesus. Because Jesus says, you got to follow my teachings. One of my favorite verses, you guys could probably quote it, John 14:21. "Whoever has my commands and obeys them." I love it. It's not enough to have the word of God. You got to actually obey. You got to obey the teachings of the Scripture. We've got to teach disciples that obedience is not optional. It's part of the package. We've got to start saying the following statement. If you don't obey, you're not a follower of Jesus. We've got to start saying the following statements. If you're not willing to submit to Christ's strategies, you are not Christ's. People have been taught, that's a hard line statement, but people have sold the other wholesale in our generation. And you've got an entire generation that needs to hear the hard line. Because they're so used to being able to, I don't really like that verse in the Bible. I'm going to X that out. I don't really want to do that. Really not big on that one. Well, my church teaches this. Who cares what your church teaches? What does the Word of God say? Because if you don't follow Jesus' commands, if you don't obey them, then you don't love Him. I sure do love Him. I put my hands in the air and worship Him. That means nothing. Your obedience to His commands is the defining point of your discipleship. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one that loves me. That's who loves me. Not the one who sits on the front row and worships and sticks their flag in the air. Not the one who gives the most amount of money or this or that. The one who has my commands and obeys them. That's the one who loves me. And here it is again. I love it. Here it is again. It's the two-sided thing. Jesus just got done more or less saying, if you don't follow my commands, you don't love me. And that's going to be bad for you. But he goes, oh, I got good news. I got good news. Pick me. He who loves me, i.e. obeys my commands, will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Oh, snap. Jesus showing himself. Jesus revealing himself, him entering in. Oh, I just love it. The promise is for those who obey him, they'll know him. He will go out of his way. The Father and Jesus will come and make their home in him. it says also in John 14. Come and make their home in Him. That's the promise. But it's not for those that go to church. It's not for those who were baptized. It's not for those who made a profession. It's not for those that were walking in obedience 5 years ago. It's for those who obey Him. Obey Him. We've got to start calling a generation into obedience. We've got to start calling them into obedience. And we've got to start calling sin, sin. You can do it with a big smile. Remember plastic surgery? Start doing it with a big smile and say, listen, that's sin. You'll go to hell for that. You need to give your life to Jesus. Oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I do this, I do that. Do you obey Him? Do you follow Him? Because if you don't follow Him, you're no friend of His. He says, you want to be His friend? Obey Him. You want to follow Him? Obey Him. And so, I want to stir all of us into fresh obedience. Man, let's chase after Jesus and obey. You know, obedience comes from the Word. Obedience comes from leadership. Obedience comes from the still small voice. Obedience comes from all different places that the Lord has orchestrated ways to be obedient to Him. So let's all be obedient, but let's call people into hardline obedience. Jesus said, come follow me. They left everything and they followed Him. Come follow me, this beautiful man, calling them into hardline obedience. And He says, oh, but the reward is the Father and I will come and set up a house in your heart. We'll come and we'll fellowship with you. It'll be your salvation, but it'll be joy in this life. It'll be so much more than just your getting out of hell jail free card. Oh, let's call people into obedience. So, here's what we're doing. This season, you can tell we're trying to really give a specific focus, a shift. Let's call forth disciples of Jesus. Let's be intentional. No one accidentally becomes a disciple of Christ. And that just doesn't happen. Let's be intentional about going and making disciples. Jesus said, go make. It's a violent thing. Go make something. You're not a disciple. I'm going to make you one. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Fight them on it. Make them a disciple. Let's go and be intentional about it. That's what this Target 3 thing's all about. You know, there's nothing magical about Target 3. It's just something to talk about. But just pick three people in your life that you're going to be praying for, that you're going to be intentional about, trying to make a disciple of Christ, trying to get them following Jesus. Pick three. Start praying for them. Start being intentional. Start having hard conversations. Next week, that's what we're going to talk about. Next week's message is going to be having the hard conversations. Because it's not just you need Jesus. It's, hey bro, I thought you said you wanted Jesus. It's, hey dude, you're totally out of line on this. You need Jesus. You better deal with that. I mean, there's so many different hard conversations. So it's not just the introduction. That's the starting point. Remember, we're talking about evangelism and discipleship. Making them followers of Jesus. It's His inheritance. That's what He wants. He doesn't want people to raise their hand in His service and get saved. He wants disciples. And so, we just got to start having those hard conversations and then teaching them to obey everything that He said. I'm going to give one more little plug for this February 24th thing. So, two Sundays from now, I think, is February 24th, Sunday night. Let's invite our Target 3 that night. We're going to talk about we need Jesus. Let's invite them that night. In the meantime, be praying for them. Have those conversations. Keep building relationship with them. But let's try to get them here, as many of them as can be, on February 23rd. Let's try to invite our Target 3 to get them here that night to be able to talk to them about our corporate, our need for Jesus everywhere we're at in that journey. Lost? Bro, you need Jesus. Pastor? Need Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus on February 24th. Let's get them in the room as best we can. Now remember, on your Target 3, I'm thinking about the lost. I'm thinking about the undiscipled. I'm thinking about those that call themselves Christians and they're not following Jesus. They're not. They're not Christians. They're not following Jesus. I'm thinking about those that aren't in church and need to be a part of the family of God. I mean, that's part of their discipleship process that they're actually in disobedience about. Because they weren't called to be a finger laying on a table. That's morbid. They're called to be part of the body of Christ together. And they need to be in relationship. So that's who we're targeting. So if I can get everybody stand, I want to pray a blessing over you and we'll dismiss. Father, I want to ask you tonight in Jesus' name that you would release zeal. You would release, God, a vigor, God, in our hearts. to talk about Jesus, this most beautiful man, and God to just go crazy. I mean, to just make the most bold statements like you did, like, come follow me as I follow Jesus. Come, let me help disciple you in Christ. Come, give your lives to Jesus. Leave behind your old way of life and come into your inheritance. Come into your reason for existence. I pray, God, you'd give us language, you give us Holy Spirit unction, you give us power, and you would anoint, God, the work and the ministry, Father, of Foreigner Fellowship in this season, God, to see many become followers of Jesus Christ. We pray in your holy name, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for taking our burnt hair and giving us the McDuck money bin. Thank you, God, for giving us this incredible inheritance. We love you. Amen. All right, well, we're going to transform this room. So if you guys want to have some conversations, that's awesome. Just do it out there.